I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with my favorite tool today, Nasty Nate Parker. How you doing, bud?
From worst to best, all in a week. Feels good. We started the show.
Best
no one would have ever thought.
Best
Woody
ability
would have said,
is availability, bro.
That's fair. That's fair. I can jump on board that one.
Yeah.
How you doing, Woody?
I'm doing all right. We got some news to jump into today. We'll keep it relatively short because, you know, we got the first weekend of NFL football. Next week's going to be big. We got preseason games coming this weekend. We're going to have mad stuff to talk about. Prospects, who's going to get cut, who's got something left in the tank. We're on the edge of season number 2 of Five Tool Sports NFL coverage. This is going to be fun. We may get some call-ins later from Jim from Wisconsin or Jimbo from Kentucky, or Jim Bob from Florida, or Jimmy from Philly. He sounds stabby. But let's jump right into it. NFL news. Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson, both had similar surgeries for a broken bone in their foot. They're training to play week one. Everyone was panicking. They're hitting the panic button. They're so ready because Carson's so injury prone. It was a simple surgery and no complications. Stefania Bell said, don't panic. And I usually trust Stefania Bell. She's really good at her job. She's really good at injury coverage. And she's baddie, too. But Stefania Bell just came out and said, don't panic. You should be fine. It should be less than the recovery time, far end of the table. I was a little worried for the Indianapolis Colts. Because you lose your best offensive lineman, that's a recipe for disaster. We saw what that did to Dallas last year. And then your quarterback's already having injury issues, who's coming off his worst season, who's had injury issues in the past. It was just spelling disaster. And I watched Jacob Eason. You know me, Pac-12 football. He wasn't an NFL quarterback. I knew that. He had a decent like long ball, but just you see the consistent in college. You can tell if a guy's going to go to the NFL by how he throws to the sideline. And that's real. Like, there's certain dudes, like, obviously there's exceptions to the rule, but if you can't throw an out pass with, like, real consistency in college, that's what separates the boys from, you know, the he, she, it's, or what. So what do you think, Nate? Carson Wentz, Quentin Nelson trending back. Like, let's talk this division. So we're going to be going over this later. But in the AFC Conference, Indianapolis Colts are plus 1,600 to win the AFC. And the Tennessee Titans are plus 1,500. So I'm thinking I really like the Colts as a dark horse at plus 1,600, honestly. If everything works out for them, I could see them contending in the AFC because they have the defense to get it done.
As someone who is not a fan of Carson Wentz, I could see the pieces coming together for the Colts, but as for consistency, I am not a huge fan of Carson Wentz. I'm not a huge fan of the already breaking down offensive line. I mean, granted, what you said, Stefania Bell. That is her trade, monitoring and advising on how serious injuries can be. I don't like it. I don't like how early things are happening. Last week we talked about it. I had forgotten how physically fragile Carson Wentz was. I already knew he was kind of mentally broken, had the yips last season. Coming into Indy, everyone's kind of hyping it up, hoping there's a revitalization with Frank Reich and that offensive line.
Is this Miyagi?
I mean, I'm worried. I would not, if you're asking me if I'm going to put money on that, absolutely not. I do not want any part of that, of the indie team. I mean, let's be honest, 8 weeks in, I hope they prove me wrong. I like Frank Reich. I like Chris Ballard, their GM. I think he's done an excellent job in building through the draft. Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson, just two highlights to name for you. They got Darius Leonard in third, and he is currently the highest paid linebacker in all of NFL. And they've done a great job of signing free agents. They signed your guy, DeForest Buckner. They're great. I love what they're doing out there. It's the one position they cannot seem to nail down since Peyton Manning.
Here's the question. I think that just having a quarterback that can move outside the pocket, because we're underestimating Carson Wentz's mobility here. He's shown the past couple of years with how bad the Eagles' line has been. His mobility has been the one thing that's kind of barely kept them afloat. Going from a quarterback like Phillip Rivers last year, who stoic, standing in the pocket, just the man had nothing left. He can't move. I think behind a good offensive line, like when you get a quarterback like that, the upgrade in offensive line and consistency and smart play calling, that really can just be night and day for a quarterback. It can change a quarterback's entire career. So,
I agree with you. I want to say one thing as far as Carson Wentz is concerned, and CJ brought this up. I want to say last season, week 10 or 11, we can go back and check the tapes, but he brought up that Carson Wentz is just a sissy. He's never had to fight for anything in his entire life.
What? The man went to Division II and made it to the top of the NFL draft.
Listen. Exactly. He went to Division II where he was the man. He got drafted second overall to a team where he was the man. The moment he faced adversity and he had to compete for a job with Nick Foles, he started showing cracks in the armor. I don't think Carson Wentz has it here. I don't think he's a winner here. I think his work ethic is good. I think he has the physical ability. I just don't think like he can handle the pressure. So in saying that, one of two things I hope happen. I hope that the Indianapolis Colts sign Nick Foles to put Carson Wentz under the fire. Put him under the microscope. Make him earn the job that they want to pay him to do. If he can beat out Nick Foles after he heals up, get that job back, I'm a believer in the Carson Wentz we saw his second year where he was on pace to lead them to the Super Bowl.
As entertaining as that would be, honestly, I think it'd be dumb to sign Nick Foles or to acquire Nick Foles because you're bringing ghosts into your locker room, in your quarterback room. This man, like, if Nick Foles followed him, his legacy would mess with anybody. Like, you just like, why is this man following me? I wouldn't do that to my own quarterback, but that would be funny. It would add some drama.
I don't even know if it adds drama. For me, as someone who's looking at it from a coaching standpoint or a management standpoint, I want to know how tough Carson Wentz is mentally. Are you gonna complain to the media how we signed Nick Foles? Are you gonna show up every? No, I mean he did a little bit. There's a reason Nick Foles got traded.
Well, they were overpaying him, but
I mean, there's a reason Nick Foles got traded when you had two very good backups. Nick Foles came at one. By the way, Nick Foles won Philly a Super Bowl. Regardless who's calling the plays, you got to show up and make the throws.
Enshrined in Philly Hall of Fame forever. That man will never pay for a drink.
Like Donovan McNabb, move over. You are an afterthought. Like, Donovan McNabb was the greatest quarterback Philly had ever had before Nick Foles, before Carson Wentz, and then Carson Wentz got moved over by a career backup. Nick Foles has never won a job that hasn't been given to him. Same thing as Carson Wentz. Think about this. He competed in Michigan State. He lost. Had to go to Arizona State. He lost that job and got it back later because the guy got injured. So he ended up starting there. He gets drafted. He gets given the starting job by Michael Vick is fluttering. So he gets given that job by Chip Kelly. He has a great season, goes to, I want to say, Kansas City, and tanks. No, he went to the Rams after his first stint with the Eagles, didn't he?
I believe so.
It was him and Case Keenum at the Rams. Anyways.
I mean, Nick Foles has never shown consistency. Like, that brief period of time,
bro, he showed four games of the most consistent play you will ever see in NFL history.
We're giving
Nick Foles too much headspace, just like Carson Wentz's. We should probably move on.
Exactly. But the Colts, so you picking the Colts or the Titans to win that division, or young Jaguars?
I think it's a year or two early for the Jags. I'll tell you this. I'm excited to see what Urban Meyer does.
I'm excited to see if Trevor Lawrence is actually gonna be any good.
I lean towards the Titans. The one reason why the Titans scare me a little bit in this pick, they're the most consistent offense for sure in that division. For sure, without a doubt. They're the most consistent offense. They have the most offensive weapons. Their defense scares the crap out of me. Their secondary, trash.
Bud Dupree coming off a major injury, too.
I know. Like, they signed Bud Dupree. I like that. Can Bud Dupree do
it without TJ Watt on the other side?
The Titans, I want to say the Titans gave up more big, like, at a very, sorry, I don't know the actual statistic, but I want to say the Titans gave up big plays at a high rate last season. And that's not a way you win football games. So
I think with that, are going to be under the Titans, I believe, and over unders to win that division. And we're going to probably be doing more betting content as the season ramps forward.
100%.
I like the Colts on winning that division because of the defense. Like you said, the defense is what wins them that battle.
So here's briefly touching on that. Yes, the Colts have the best defense in the division, hands down. What scares me is their inconsistency on offense and the change of the guard at quarterback. You're going to have two quarterback changes early on in the season. You're going to start with a quarterback that's kind of like a placeholder. You're going to move back to Carson Wentz week three or four, which isn't a big deal, to be completely honest. But it's can they develop a rhythm?
Yeah, no, for sure. Down in New Orleans, the Bayou. We have who that falling apart. You got Michael Thomas coming out early today, reporting by Ian Zahani from ESPN. Slant Boy wants out of New Orleans. And so there's been a weird back and forth going on. So apparently Michael Thomas didn't answer them in the offseason for like 3 months. He's pulling a Ben Simmons-like situation here. And then now he's going in for surgery late, and he's going to miss a month. But Michael Thomas came out and tweeted the other day that there's two sides to every story. And he doesn't, like, the Saints apparently did something shady. He didn't go into details.
Well, I mean, I can tell you exactly what they did shady. They basically wasted some of the best years of Drew Brees' career. And Michael Thomas is afraid he's not going to get the touches in the receptions and the targets that he was getting in the past, because in all reality, Michael Thomas, Slant Boy.
And let's be real though, who's going to trade for Michael Thomas coming off the worst season of his career, off-season surgery, going to be missing a month pretty much into the regular season. Who's going to trade for Michael Thomas at this point in his career with how big of a contract he just signed? He just re-upped last year.
You know who I would, if I were a team wanting to go after a wide receiver, and I know they just drafted one this during the most recent draft, I would, if I'm the New York Giants, I would
sign Kenny Galladay. They can't afford Michael Thomas.
I get what you're saying. But if you can have Kenny Galladay coming out opposite Michael Thomas, I think they win that division with Saquon Barkley coming out of the backfield if they can all stay healthy. I don't think Daniel, that's a recipe for an idiot-proof quarterback to win a division.
My thought process would be the only team that I could think that would maybe help, because actually he'd be the perfect target for a quarterback whose arm is a little iffy, because we've seen Drew Brees being his outlet before. Cam Newton, New England Patriots.
True, and they've got the money. You know who also would be a good fit? Actually, perfect fit. Michael Thomas would slide right into Seattle.
Seattle's so cash strapped, bro. And
no, I'm not saying they can afford him.
They already have Lockett. I don't know about that. I disagree fully with that one. That it just doesn't make sense. But well, speaking of Seattle, though, well, actually, there's one other thing. So this is cause for concern. Patrick Robinson, Super Bowl hero Patrick Robinson for the New Orleans Saints. Who dat? He is retiring out of nowhere. He's been in camp, and he's just decided that he's going to retire. And Sean Payton came out and said he saved his money well, and he's had a long career. He's been in the league for 11 years. But that leaves the team with no starting second corner across from Marshawn Lattimore, which has been their strength and the basis of their defense for the past few years. So, I ask you, with the whole Michael Thomas requesting a trade, the fact that they don't have a starting quarterback decision yet between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, Patrick Robinson suddenly retiring, these are all red flags. Do we see New Orleans fall to the bottom of this division this year? I mean, some people expected it, but I feel like some people are still riding out with the genius of Sean Payton that they might actually, you know, retain being up near the top of the division. I think these guys are saying there's no point in putting my body through this for an average season.
I agree 100% with you. I think that Michael Thomas is looking for long-term success in his NFL career. And I think he's looking at the Saints as a sinking ship. I mean, if this is coming from a guy in camp being like, I don't want to be here, who's been a lifelong Saint that just signed a major deal with them, like, it is not going well. That being said, like, Sean Payton, man, he can make magic out of nothing. So we'll see how they're going to handle this. I fully expect if they do deal Michael Thomas, they're going to get some good return, whether it be draft picks or some role players to kind of shore up that offense that has been severely lacking.
Let's move down to Seattle. You mentioned Seattle earlier. Seattle will be releasing Alden Smith. I think it's crazy that they've kept on to him this long, especially with that whole Chad Wheeler situation after he got arrested for another domestic violence incident. Like, read the room, right? That's crazy that he was still on the...
Yeah, I agree with you. See, here's the thing. Like, I'm a firm believer in second chances.
So
both in business and personally. So my issue with, like, I'm okay with them releasing him, but I mean, it's probably also a talent issue at this point. Alden Smith's getting up there. He's probably a little bit, he's probably, let's be honest, he's probably lost a step, half step. And that means everything at that position.
Yeah, no, Alden Smith, if you lose that little speed off the edge, it's
that first step.
Beginning to the end. Yeah,
absolutely.
The quickness. But let's sticking with Seattle. So Russell Wilson's kind of backed Seattle into a corner here, coming out demanding the trade this offseason without demanding the trade this offseason. That weird kind of like mentioned Russ, which we all understood because Russ has been hit more than most quarterbacks in Seattle the past few years, and he's had a bad offensive line. They spent their money other places. And they're doing that now. They're trying to get this contract worked out with Jamal Adams, who's by far the best player on their defense still. Oh, well, I mean, Bobby Wagner still. He's getting older, but young player on their defense. And Russ came out publicly because Dwayne Brown has yet to report to camp. Starting left tackle, the guy they traded for to make Russ happy to improve the line. Now, Dwayne Brown, I feel like he's taking kind of a step back. And that's why he's been traded away. Now, you know, they gave him away for not that expensive for a left tackle. But he's by far the best one Russ has ever had. And so Dwayne Brown is taking advantage of that situation. He's saying, pay me. And the quarterback, he hasn't come into camp in a week. And the quarterback came out and said, Russ, after already talking about a trade, saying, I need my left tackle in camp. So they're already cash-strapped, trying to sign the one of the best safeties in the league that they traded two first-round picks for. You can't let Jamal Adams walk. You just can't. You have to retain the asset at this point because you traded two first-round picks. Dwayne Brown, he's taking advantage of this. This is Seattle's falling into some scary waters here. They were already cash-strapped from all the players that they were homegrown, re-signed from, and it's destroyed their defense. Are we seeing Seattle come apart at the seams this year? Is this the year that the train ends in Seattle and we don't see them make the playoffs?
I mean, if there was ever a year that this could happen where there are the other three teams in their division are very good, like, it's hard to say that Seattle isn't the fourth best team in that division, which is crazy, right? Seattle's always been top two. Russ is holding that shit together.
That division is loaded. Yeah.
I don't want to be a Seattle Seahawks fan this year. I don't want to be the 12th man.
Yeah, it's not looking good. If they can't bring Brown in at a reasonable deal, that's already going to complicate their cap. And although I think they're going to be a really fun offense to watch this year because they're taking the governor off of Russ, I'm really high on a lot of Seattle fantasy receiving targets. I think Gerald Everett could be a sneaky play later on in drafts. If they take the cap off and they're just throwing, Russ could have a career year. But at the same time, if you're going to be passing that much, you need your left tackle. So it doesn't spell anything good. It doesn't spell anything good. And when your contracts are – that eats into camp. When you got two guys not getting paid by your organization – that's putting red flags in all your players' minds into camp the further it goes. So, I don't know. I don't like what's going on in Seattle, especially when they're already competing in a stacked division. Let's move on to – well, that'll wrap up the news. But let's move on to – we never went over the ESPN NFL's top 10 running backs voted by GMs and other front office personnel. So, sitting at number one, with lowest ranking 6, last year's ranking 5, who do you think sitting at number 1 for ESPN NFL running backs?
Derrick Henry.
The king! Derrick Henry, coming off a 2,000-yard season. And because of adding the second game, the extra game this year, it'd be not too crazy seeing him rush for 2,000 back-to-back. If anyone could do it, it'd be Derrick Henry. And that would be insane. That'd be one of the greatest feats in history. Yeah, I think it would cement Derrick Henry as a Hall of Famer. Like, he's probably almost there now with the past few years. But if he had a back-to-back 2,000-yard season, he could retire after that, and he'd definitely make the Hall of Fame. But he's sitting at number one. Number two, lowest ranking 8, which is insane. But highest ranking number one, we have Alvin Kamara out of New Orleans.
I don't think that 8 is a wildly out of place ranking. And I'm not saying that because I think Alvin Kamara isn't talented. What I'm saying is that I think that the Saints offense is not, like, even their run offense is just, I do not think it's going to be a fun year to watch the Saints play football.
Yeah. No, I think they actually lean harder on the run. Like, you see a lot more Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara, and a lot of and with Jameis and Taysom Hill, who are not the greatest quarterbacks, you see a lot of checkdowns. I think Kamara is actually pretty safe to put up numbers this year, as long as he can stay healthy.
He's going to have a lot more. He's going to be running between the tackles probably more this year than he ever has before.
Sitting at number 3, highest ranking number 1, lowest ranking number 7, and I'd imagine that's because of his injury history, we have Dalvin Cook of Minnesota.
I think other than Derrick Henry, this is probably the closest this list is to being accurate. I think Dalvin Cook's top 5. I put him more towards 5 than I would 3. He's got all the talent. He clearly carries that team. in spite of the person who's under center. Yes, I said it. Don't holler at me. But I think three's too high, but it's as close to right as they're going to get.
Three's too high. I don't know. Dalvin Cook, after the year he had last year, like, let's be honest, he missed the last two games due to personal reasons. He still rushed for 1,500 yards, 1,557. The guys, there's no one better on an outside off tackle run in the NFL. Like, no one. That the man's just an absolute beast when he's running to the outside. Seeing number four, we have the highest ranking number two, which talent wise, I would rank this man number two, honestly. But talent wise, sitting at number two, we have Nick Chubb from Cleveland. And honestly, I think Nick is the most explosive runner in the NFL. When it comes to taking it to the house from anywhere on the field, I'd bet my money on Nick Chubb. The man's just got, he's so slippery. And with the breakaway speed, he's just a special back. But I think what puts him here is not on number four is his injury history. He's been a little banged up at Georgia. He's had some problems in the NFL. He missed four games last year, but still put up 1,000 yards.
I love Nick Chubb's breakaway speed. I think he might be the fastest runner as a running back in the open field. Just being able to literally run away from defensive backs. I love it, but I don't know if he's the same back without Kareem Hunt in there.
No, I agree with that. So Christian McCaffrey's actually going at number five, lowest ranking number 11. What an insult. Like, the man just put two seasons ago, one of the greatest seasons in running back history, 1,000 right. yards.
They leaned on him, and then the next season he's like, but you leaned on me a little too much. I'm not quite recovered yet.
Oh, how quickly they forget.
I mean, I love Christian McCaffrey. I don't hate five. I don't hate five just simply because he's coming off a year where he played three full games, and he was injured the majority of the season. And to be fair, most of that was just making sure that he's not going to consistently get injured. I like they picked up a running back to kind of help him out and replace Mike Davis. But yeah, I don't hate it. I don't love it. But he could easily be number one.
Sitting at number six, and I'm surprised by who's underneath him and who's there because he's only done it 1 year. And then he suffered the injury. We have the absolute highlight reel, the thick-thighed Thickums, Saquon Barkley.
You know what? I take it back. I apologize to Saquon Barkley for disrespecting him, for saying that Nick Chubb is the best runner in the open field.
Yeah.
In space, I apologize.
We quickly forget.
I apologize, Sir Quads. But yeah, no, Saquon Barkley. If he comes back at 100%, and for all intents and purposes, the Giants were very careful with him. So
they're already saying that he's not going to play till week three.
I'm okay with that they took him off. They took him off the PUP yesterday. Yeah. He's practicing. So I'm like, all right, I like this. I like that they're being careful. I like that they are monitoring it the right way. And if he doesn't come back till week three, when he does come back, I will say this much. I expect a full workload. I expect 20 carries. I expect him to hit the ground running and hit that hole.
No, I agree. He's a true workhorse, and Danny Dimes is going to need that because Giants reports out of Giants training camp is Dimes isn't looking like he's improved. He's not taking the next step. Kenny Galladay's already a little nicked up, which that's worrisome. I mean, after what he did in Detroit with injury history. I'm not looking forward to this season, but last year we were pleasantly surprised by the defense that kept us in contention. If we can get a consistent run game, that would really change things.
What? Are you sure? Wayne Gallman? Wayne Gallman was in Devonta Freeman. Like they held down that
Gallman isn't in town anymore.
No, I know. It was
really close to the job. They Gallman did actually surprisingly well. I liked Gallman, but they brought in Ball from Oakland last year, who was great with Josh Jacobs, and then I think who's their third running back?
They brought in Booker.
Booker, yeah.
Monty Ball. I was thinking Monty Ball is retired.
Then number seven, who I'm surprised, because even though he didn't have like the best season last year with his line falling apart and everything, wasn't over Barkley. I guess Barkley is just because of the explosiveness. Is number seven Ezekiel Elliott, who we both think is getting way too much hate this offseason. Like with the line coming back, yes, they lost their center. They brought in somebody, and Collins is coming back. Smith is looking healthy. Zach Martin, one of the best guards of all time, he's looking healthy again too. I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to have another huge year, especially with his quarterback coming back. Am I missing something here? What's with all the Zeke hate? He had the worst season of his career, and he was still number nine overall fantasy production.
It's got to be. It has to be the what have you done for me lately?
There's a lot of that.
Which is going to come back and bite everyone in the butt.
Yeah.
Like, the people, like, ranking 6 through 10, I mean, not to bring up any spoilers, ranking 6 through 10, like, I hate 9, I hate 6, 7, and 8. I feel like they got, like, the issue at the top end of the running back position, this is the issue for me. Everyone is so closely stacked when they're healthy, I then have to go, how healthy can this person stay throughout a 17-game season? So, if you're a GM looking at it from that perspective, I can give you that. Like Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Zeke all coming off of a good amount of injury last year where they missed multiple games. I hate the ranking simply because I don't think they're gauging the talent and durability of those players correctly, but they are looking at it from a what did you do in 2020? And again, 2020, worst example ever. Have you heard of this thing called COVID-19? I don't know. It's the thing that swept the world, but they're looking at 2020 to base their rankings, I'm sure, in where they're at in 2021. This is what we end up with.
Sitting at number eight, we have a guy who's lacked the yardage totals of other guys on this list, but is definitely scored more touchdowns than most of the people on this list. The touchdown machine himself, highest ranking number 4, lowest ranking number 13. Some of these people, what are they smoking, man? Aaron Jones, Green Bay Packers running back.
I mean, putting it politely, Aaron Jones is the number 2 receiver, maybe number 3 right behind Randall Cobb right now. So yeah, as far as like
hands in line for numbers,
like, you and I, we look at this from a fantasy perspective a little bit, and we go, he's going to put up numbers. From a pure running back perspective,
he's the centerpiece of the offense next
to I still think he's going to put up numbers. They paid him. I'm excited to see what he does with that money. He wanted to see, he came out and said, I want to be a Packer for life. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he can do, with a full off season, working with Aaron and everyone out there. And I'm excited to see the retooled offense that the Packers put out there. Hopefully LaFleur, put his head to nose to the grindstone. Isn't going to, you know, kick a field goal, instead of going for it.
Sitting at number 9, surprising here at number 9. I actually like it with his talent, and I feel like he's all reports in camp, he's shown up the best shape of his career. The guys, he has all the tools. We're just waiting for him to have that one big season so far. Joe Mixon, highest ranking number 4, lowest ranking unranked. But I think what he did last year after he got healthy with Cincinnati's offensive line in the state that it was pretty impressive. And obviously they felt comfortable enough to lean on Joe Mixon because they let Gio Bernard walk, and not even for a really big amount of money either.
I think you're right. I think that they're not worried about Joe Mixon staying healthy, which is good, right? That's confidence booster. They did draft Chris Evans, I want to say in the later rounds of the draft, running back out of University of Michigan. All intents and purposes, he's been great catching out of the backfield. I expect him to kind of be that like mini third down spell back just in case Mixon needs a break.
Mixon a great receiver though. He's really,
oh, absolutely. That's where he does a lot of his work. Honestly, I would put Jonathan Taylor or Kareem Hunt ahead of Joe Mixon, but that's just me. I like them better from a
Kareem Hunt really does get slept on still.
Dude, like, people forget Kareem Hunt.
He was like a top five back.
He was the rushing leader for 2 years.
Yeah.
The year after Zeke won it, he won it back to back. Like, they're like, oh, Nick Chubb. And I'm like, Kareem Hunt, you could make an argument that Kareem Hunt is the better running back out of that backfield. Anyways.
Well, sitting at number 10, this is the most surprising one because let's go over the honorable mentions list, and I want to see if you can guess who's number 10 is. So honorable mentions, the guys that just outside the top 10, Jonathan Taylor. One GM said he'll be a top five back by the end of the season. Kareem Hunt, obviously. There's a few people that think he's the best overall back in Cleveland. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he had some really good games last year. I want to see but you are also in the best offense in the league. I feel like it should look easy when you're in the Kansas City offense. So I want to see what he does this year, more consistency. Miles Sanders, one of the most explosive backs in the league, but I think we've also seen Philly, like, they kind of leaned on him last year, and they're backing off of it because I don't think he can handle that number one rush road. They already said that they're going to be splitting carries. I just picked up Scott in our dynasty,
Scott, yeah,
because they said that he's probably going to be splitting carries half and half of Miles Sanders, and they've already came out and said that it's not going to be a one back role. So what back do you think is sitting here at number 10 after saying those guys?
I mean, based on stats last year, it has to be Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs. I mean, Josh Jacobs has sunk a little bit every year so far in his career. He came onto the scene, absolutely blew it up. The next year, got a little banged up, but still ran it through. He runs hard, too. And then last year, you know,
the thing with Josh Jacobs
looked like the best back last year in Oakland.
I mean, a little. I wouldn't go that far. I will say Booker looked very good last year. Josh Jacobs is still incredibly explosive. He's great. He has great hands out of the backfield, catching passes. My one worry for Jacobs, he is going to get eaten alive after Mike Mayock and John Gruden decided to literally explode that offensive line this offseason. Like, Josh Jacobs is going to be running directly into nose tackles. Like, it is going to be it. Like, Josh Jacobs is going to get hit hard. My hope is they don't do that. They use him maybe in a different way so they can preserve how they're going to use him long term. And honestly, last year, they just rode him. They rode him very, very hard. So it's hard to really say, like, he got worse because he's never seen that kind of load, even in college. Like, he was the secondary back to Damian Harris in college. Like, yeah. Damian Harris was the lead back in college. Josh Jacobs just happens to have
a chance Damian Harris could be on this list, or actually this season have a better season than Josh Jacobs. Like,
I'm not gonna say no to that. I love what Josh Jacobs can do out of the backfield. I love that he runs hard. He runs angry. I love his size, his strength. I would love to see Josh Jacobs have a revitalized year. He took the time in the offseason to get healthy, get stronger, because he's gonna be taking a lot of nasty hits this season.
No, I agree. Well, that wraps up our top 10 running backs voted by NFL front offices. I think we've actually, with the news, we went a little long today, and we should save the over-unders for when everyone's back next week. So
I do have a trivia question.
Oh, throw it at me, baby.
I was hoping Jimbo would be here, but he's not.
Jimbo had to wrestle a gator.
He did. So the question is, whose touchdown record did Jerry Rice break?
For most touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's a good question. That's going old school. Was it another wide receiver?
It was. It is a, it was, it happened on December 6th, 1992.
All right. Going through the receivers of the 80s and 90s in my mind. I know Collinsworth had a lot, but I don't think that
I'll give you another hint. Now, this is the last hint. Rice did it in 8 seasons. The previous player did it in 14.
14 seasons. Touchdowns. I'm thinking, like, Lynn Swan comes to mind. Man, I'm really going back in my head here. This is before, like, when I was a very young child. So I was a bit before the memory started clicking. But I know my NFL history. Somebody from the 80s.
We'll come back to you after a word from our sponsors.
Hey guys, Nate here. And you know I love watching and analyzing football. There is nothing that trumps my data and stat analysis combined with the good old eye test. But you know, where you get the numbers matters. If you want to make sure that the numbers you're getting are going to match what you're seeing on the field, go ahead and give our sister side a check. FootballScout365.com, created by Brandon Lundberg. Football Scout 365 has in-depth analysis for both pro and college football. Football Scout 365 has numerous tools, such as the NFL Situational Analysis Tool, NFL Free Agent Analysis Tool, and the oh-so-important NFL Mock Drafts, but not too many of them, because who knows what's really going to happen on draft day. I use Football Scout 365 daily, and you should too. So go on over to FootballScout365.com and check them out.
And we're back. Woody, on the spot.
I think he stumped me, bro, honestly. When we're looking at 90, 92, that'd be from the 80s.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm not as good as CSPN. Like,
no, it's a good question.
I pivoted from running backs to wide receivers. But I've had this like on the tip. I kind of wanted to, and CSPN isn't here. He's back from vacation next week, so I'm just gonna slide in.
Throw it at me, bro. I'm honestly stumped. I can't think of it. Steve, I know I'm gonna be mad.
Largent.
Steve Largent. Duh. Oh, that's what I was trying to remember.
I knew you were gonna smack your head when I said it. I was
little
like,
white dude, so man. Mad. Gotta represent the little white dudes at the skill positions. Oh man, people. If you haven't, like, there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast who don't know about, like, older NFL history, because the NFL has been popular, gotten more and more popular as we've grown up and people our age group. Go look at Steve Largent highlights. It's one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. This man was fearless. Little dude would go across the middle, would get absolutely crushed, and he'd always hop back up. He'd make the most crazy circus catches, but he didn't really make them with like hands extended. He would catch them in the breadbasket and use his body like a basketball player to shield people off. He is one of the most amazing highlight reels you'll ever see. Go look at Steve Largent, a great free NFL documentary that's actually on YouTube. Sports Illustrated made it in the 80s. It's called Crunch Course. He is featured in there. If you watch his section, you'll be absolutely mind blown. That was a good trivia question, Nate. Thank you. I'm mad at myself for not getting that.
My pleasure.
But yeah, as always, guys, check us out online, the number 5 toolsportspodcast.com. The number 5, not the word, 5 toolsportspodcast.com. Check out our sister site, Football Scout 365, where their analytics pushes our fantasy and betting knowledge a lot. If you want to take your fantasy seeds to the next level, go check out Football Scout 365, ran by our friend Brandon Lundberg, who we hope feels better, who's not feeling too good this week, and he's out with the shickums. And always, shout out to CSPN, who's on vacation. We'll be seeing him back next week. And M. Cash with that fire theme song, Let It Play. We out.
We out.
My mama says you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing, had to hustle to acquire a check.